Neville Brothers, Sister Rosa. Love some Neville Brothers. Okay. We remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you, and money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com, or you can log on to steinershow.org and click on their banner. All the information is there for MeQ, M-E-C-U, Baltimore's credit union. We are here in the studio with Amina Ruffin, who is a Towson University student, a member of the Towson University speech and debate team, and a member of Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle.
Hello.
Good to have you, Amina. Good to meet you.
Me too.
Dave On Love has been coming on the show for many, many years now, Director of Research and Public Policy for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle and former member of the Towson University Speech and Debate Team. Good to have you here, Dave On.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Number is 410-319-8888. We received an email the other day from Adam Jackson, who's your partner in crime, so to speak, just joking, Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, who was all part of Boodle, the Baltimore Urban Debate Leagues, where they first met. Talk to me about the problems at Towson State University, where the debate team was taking place and wanted to compete in Harvard, were not allowed to go to Harvard. Somebody who was supervising the debate team was removed for allegedly harassing students, and that was taking place. And so they contacted me, can we have a dialogue on the air? We did call the president's office. We talked to them off the record about a couple of things. They do want to resolve this. They sent a statement that I'll read to you all. That they said, we appreciate the concerns regarding the forensics program's speech and debate team. We are proud of this academic program's success, which has enabled the team to become one of the best in the country. The Division of Academic Affairs is examining the concerns, taking into account the university's policies and procedures to ensure that all parties are being treated fairly and consistently. And I know that they were in session yesterday and they've not come to a conclusion, but it seemed to me that the president's office is, now that it's gotten there, is taking this fairly seriously in terms of figuring out what to do. So why don't you lay out what you think is going on? I mean, because I understand you've been on the debate team.
Yes.
You actually awarded as one of the, you got an award for.
Well, I've had several awards. Last season, my partner and I were at the top 16 of the national debate tournament. This is one of the most prestigious debate tournaments on the circuit. It invites the top 76 teams in the country at the end of the season. And so at the end of that tournament, we were in the top 16. Also, Towson has an award for the best debater on the team. I received that award last season. So we've been pretty successful, received a few awards. Harvard, though, was really important to us, and so that's why we wanted to be able to go to continue that success this season.
That debate takes place this weekend. So they want to give us your analysis of that. And one of the things that people said from Towson, again, there were professors who said to me at Towson in my conversations with them when I called them, asked what they thought about what's going on. Well, they said the problem is that it was not on the debate schedule. There were four debates in the schedule. Harvard wasn't on them, and that was part of the reason why this couldn't happen at the end. So,
well, I'd actually like to defer to Amina to kind of describe the dynamics of that,
right.
And then I'll talk about
what
I think about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we've received a few different stories about why we were not going to Harvard. The first is that there was not enough money to go to Harvard, and so the students had the idea to fundraise. The second was that we needed to be in good academic standing and that there was some concern that we might not be. We said that that was not the case. And then we were told, well, it's not on the schedule. And so our question was, well, why isn't it on the schedule? Because the coaching is very aware of how important this tournament is. And also, we've only been to one tournament this semester. And if we are not going to Harvard, then that means that we will only have two tournaments on the schedule for this semester. So we didn't understand why we wouldn't be able to have a third tournament. And we've kind of been getting the runaround about why we're not able to or why we won't be able to travel.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, just the larger question, because one of the things that you kind of mentioned was some of the formal charges that were levied on the university level about one of the former coaches, Stephen Davis, who was one of the, was formerly the director of debate. You know, and there was a series of experiences that a lot of the young people had in regards to interacting with him. And Amina can explain more specifically those interactions. But in terms of my involvement as an alum of the program and as someone who's practically watched some of these students grow up, you know, I've known Amina since she was 16 years old and watched her become one of the most successful debaters, you know, on the circuit. And so for me to see that on an institutional level, when young people voice their concerns about things that undermine their ability to do well as such an important academic activity, to me that shows an utter disregard for the for what the university says to stand for, which is this notion of diversity and academic excellence. And for me, the debate team is a perfect nexus between those two things, the nexus between, you know, including people of color at the highest levels of the academy while also having that level of academic success. And nothing short of supporting their endeavors, I think, is acceptable in this instance.
So one of the things the university has said, let me just read a little bit. I can't read the whole thing. I apologize, university, because it came in just now, and I can't. It's very long, but I can read part of it. They said that they were proud of the accomplishments of the fifth-year-old forensics program. As an institution, we honor and respect freedom of speech. The allegations made against Towson University and its faculty are taken seriously. Earlier this semester, Towson swiftly investigated and addressed all concerns brought to our attention from members of the debate team. There were no findings that warranted further investigation of sanctions. The current controversy surrounding the decision about whether or not the debate team could or should participate in Harvard's university's tournament has been instigated by two alumni members of the debate team. They are not directly involved in the academic program, nor were they involved in the conversations or decisions about the debate team's competitive schedule. There's been a lot of misinformation about circulating about the social media by these two alumni. Here are the facts. I'm trying to get this up. I'm going to read this. I apologize here. Okay. In consultation with their coach, the current debate team members have had full participation in the competition schedule. The forensics program has used specific set of criteria to determine the debate team's competition, which as follows: competitiveness, selecting venues and competition, most advantageous to the team's ability, prestige, choosing regional and national tournaments, scheduling and academic load, ensuring positive academic and personal development while thinking strategically about travel logistics, debate style and content, selecting tournaments that are consistent with K performative style of current team members, which you can just tell me what that means, at budget, making financial decisions to support the competitiveness and success while retaining some flexibility for contingencies for future invitations to competition. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. That's similar to what was explained to us before. Our concern was that we felt like the reason that this tournament was not on our schedule was because punitive measures were being taken because of some complaints that we made in the summer. This is a tournament that has always been on our schedule. This is a tournament, given those criteria, that we've always gone to, because this tournament is the one that puts us in a good position to be competitively successful, one that is good for the style of debate that we do, one that does not take away from our academic priorities, because, as I said, we've always gone to this tournament. And so, I mean, for that to be the response seems like it kind of misses the, I guess, general argument that we're making about the position that Dr. Potter still has in the program and about the way that she interacts with students, given the complaints that we've made in the summer. Our stance has been that we don't think that she should have the same role to make the same decisions about where we travel and about the, I guess, day-to-day interactions with the students. She shouldn't have that role because we've said, hey, her husband and the director of debate, Mr. Stephen Davis, has been abusive. She has helped to sweep these things under the rug. She has not addressed these. Why is she still being allowed to control our schedule and control our travel when she's told us that she's willing to limit those things in an effort to punish us for the complaints that we filed?
Right. And I think, I mean, what's interesting about that is that, you know, the students took the initiative to raise the money to go to Harvard. I mean, it's interesting that when you think about the importance of academic success, you know, you would think that when students show that kind of initiative, that you would support that. And again, going back to what Amina said, I mean, I think it's really important to keep in mind, you know, when students raise the concern of the magnitude of what they talked about, in terms of the verbal abuse, in terms of instances of sexual harassment, you know, these are things that I would think people take very seriously. It's certainly newsworthy. And the university had plenty of time to address this. We started taking these issues to the university months ago. right? And we didn't want to take this public, right? But I wanted to ensure that the students who their parents entrust them to the university, and that in good faith, I would think, would want to look out for the interests of the students, would make it a point to make sure they were protected. And for me, for Jennifer Potter to continue to be in control of the team, for her to even have interacted with the students to explain to them they wouldn't go to Harvard. I mean, a part of the agreement was that she would not have any contact with the students, right? But she was the one that directly told them that they weren't going to Harvard, right? And so, again, Mark, what you just read in terms of the statement of the university, in terms of the justification for not going to Harvard, this comes from people that aren't literate in the college debate world and wouldn't know about what it takes to be competitively successful. And so to me, it seems like a canned answer and response in terms of giving their own justification for why the students weren't allowed to go. When everyone in the debate community knows that this is certainly a tournament that these debaters are expected to do well at.
So we have about 4 minutes left in this segment. One of the closing things here is using these criteria, the team supported the original competition for schedule this academic year. Furthermore, when the group revisited the schedule to consider adding the Harvard tournament, the team once again decided that the California Swings tournament better suited their competitive style. We welcome direct dialogue with members of the team and are invested in their continued academic growth at Towson University.
Can I add something really quickly? What's also important to notice is that, again, I've attempted to reach out to the university, to the debate team in specific, and I've informally helped the students in terms of coaching and getting them ready for arguments. What happened is that right before these complaints were filed, it was communicated to me that volunteers were no longer to be involved on a formal capacity with the team.
That would be you.
That would be me, right? And to me, that seemed really peculiar, because if you think about the things the students were experiencing and you think about an alum of the program who was very successful, you would think that you would welcome someone who, for no pay, is wanting to help the students and help the program to be successful. And so what's interesting is that response is interesting to me, because you would think that you would want to consult folks who have done this activity for a long time and have been successful and have worked with your students in order to make them successful. And so for me, you know, this whole idea of, you know, what suits their competitive success, that's something that all of us who are qualified to make that statement about where they're to be the most competitive disagree with this decision for them not to go to Harvard.
And so we have about 2 minutes left. Literally, we have to go to our Rosa Parks Memorial program. But talk a bit about why this you think is so huge and important. I mean, what has happened here? What's the underlying stuff for you here?
For the students on the team, we want to be able to compete. We want to be able to debate. And we want a clear answer on why that's being restricted, given the complaints that we've levied against the current team administration.
And really quickly, I just want to address something that people have said in terms of, you know, the element of race and why it's involved in this issue. And for me, you know, again, this is an issue I take really personally. These are students that I have a really close connection to. And I would like to think that, you know, if these were white students, I don't think we would have gotten the delayed kind of response that we've gotten. If these were white students and someone were to make allegations about sexual harassment and abuse, I think that there would be a much swifter response. And when they first initially levied these response, they were instructed to go back to the department that they were levying complaints about. You know, and so for me, it's entirely unacceptable. If you have that kind of complaint, they don't get those complaints every day. You would think you would swiftly want to address those issues and make sure the debaters felt comfortable. And this is not an instance where that happened.
I want to thank both of you for coming in. I also want to thank the people at the university for communicating with us as well. But Davon Love, Director of Research and Public Policy for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, former member of the Towson University Speech and Debate Team. Mina Ruffin, award-winning Towson University student, member of the Towson University Speech and Debate Team, and member of Leaders for Beautiful Struggle as well. Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to remind you, we're going now to we're going to commemorate the anniversary of Rosa Parks' death. You will hear our interview with Jean Theo Harris, professor of political science at Brooklyn College, about her book, The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks. The book is the first critical biography of Rosa Parks, exploring her activism before, during, and after her famous act of protest in 1955. We remember Rosa Parks on this day, remembering her passing.